Deuteronomy 31:8. Look what it says. The Lord, it is He that goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. Fear not, neither be dismayed. He's talking to Moses about their agenda that's ahead in their life. I'm not going to leave you. Trust me on this journey. Aren't we on a journey here? Maybe we're not going to go part the Red Sea, but man, we're on a journey. And the same promise He made to Moses applies to us because He's God. He's omnipresent, which means He's everywhere all the time. And I trust that my God's not going to leave me when things get bad. There's another little post I shared I thought was pretty funny on Facebook. You know, we all know about the footprints, right, where God's carrying you. Well, here's one I saw where there's a caption of Jesus and a guy, and it says, the footsteps is where I carried you, and the long mark is where I drug you kicking and screaming. You know, that's kind of how God does, right? God ain't going to leave us. You may kick and scream, but He's going to remain. He's going to stay with you. And I am thankful for that. He was assuring Moses, you got a big agenda ahead. I got a big plan for you. Don't fear. Don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. I'm not leaving you. I'm with you. I'm for you. Just like a mother and her child when they're afraid. I'm not leaving you. I'm right here. I'm holding you. They have a nightmare to come climb in your bed. It's okay. You hold them. I'm here. I'm not going to leave you till you fall asleep. Just rest and go back to sleep. Everything is good. And that gives that child comfort to let go, doesn't it, and rest. Because mom's got me. She's not going to leave me. I can trust that. I had anxiety about being separated from my parents as a child, like in stores and stuff. I had a phobia about if I lost sight of my mom or dad when I was little. It just freaked me out, like if I didn't see them. Yeah, it's just that assurance of knowing they were there. I think we all feel that way, of having that assurance. Next verse. This is Joshua 1:9. Once again, remember, Moses died. Here's the good news. Moses died, but the plan didn't, right? Moses died, but God's word didn't. Just because Moses died didn't mean them people are like, Moses is gone, no promised land. Psh, what's up with that, God? You led us here, and our leader dies. What do we do now? Don't worry. Didn't I say I'm going to be with you always? He raised up Joshua. Joshua rose up, and he tells Joshua these words. Have I not commanded you, be strong and be of good courage and be not afraid? When we know God is with us in every situation, that fear will go. As that song they've got out now, fear doesn't stand a chance in the presence of God or something like that. Anyway, talking about fear can't stand in the presence of God. When we know God's with us, that gives us an assurance it's going to be okay. Don't be afraid. Be good courage. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you, whithersoever you goest. Wherever you go, he's telling Joshua, I'm going to be there. Now, how does that apply to our lives? We get a bad medical report, right? We get a doctor calls with news we don't want to hear. We're in a bad place. Is God in that place? Yes. We go through a bad divorce, separation of our husband or wife, and it's a very traumatic experience. Is God in that with us? Yes. We lose a child through death, lose a parent. Is God in that situation? Yes. He's in those situations. We go into work tomorrow and our job tells us, I don't need you. You got 2 weeks and we're closing down the plant. Is God in that situation? Yes, He is. Yeah, you got your way, didn't you, getting out of the sanctuary? You adults, don't try that now. This is good preaching. Don't be leaving right now. In every situation, God is there in our lives. Stacy here has had a pretty rough week. But I promise you, God was in that situation. Because there ain't no holes in you. That's a good thing. You know? God watched you and watched your family. It's all about how we look at things. Maybe you have a wreck, but you walk away from it. You have a wreck. You're not paralyzed. You didn't hurt your mind. You didn't lose someone you love. You walked away from it. Yes, it's frustrating. It's bad. You don't want to go through it. But you know what, God? You were there in my situation. And you protected me and you watched over me. This is the God that I serve. He's the God who stays. When others leave and others walk away, God stays. And when I know the staying power of God, it encouraged me to realize no matter what I'm facing, I am not alone. God, I'm not alone. I may feel alone, Some of you in here are married and feel alone, but you're not alone. I promise. Some of you are single and feel alone, but you're not alone. You have God, and He will never leave you. And there's a great comfort that comes from knowing that God is ever present in your life and your situation, and that God has a plan for your life, just like He did the children of Israel. And of course, He did. They went in and they took the places God told them, and they inhabited the land, just like He said. Next verse. I love this Psalms 94:14. Look what it says. The Lord will not cast off His people, neither will He forsake His inheritance. He's not going to get rid of you. You're stuck with God. And what's really sad, He's stuck with you. That's what's sad. Oh, the love of God. God so loved the world. That's us, church. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, as Rodney says, believes upon Him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but He came that through Him the world might be saved. We serve a good, gracious, merciful God. We serve a God who loves us in spite of and besides of. He still loves us. That's amazing. Because our love and the way we love others is measured by what we see and how what we get back. You know, I don't care how Christian we are. You walk in Walmart today and you speak to somebody and they give you the, you ain't going to like that too good. I don't think y'all be going off talking in tongues. I think you're going to be saying, speak to me, girl. I come here and hold my nails. That's what y'all be saying. Because it triggers something. I'm telling you, we don't have, how many times do we treat God that way? Yeah, God, whatever. Blame, God gets blamed for everything that goes wrong. Your tire blows out, God. You know, your dog runs away, God. Your grilled cheese burns, God. I mean, everything we blame God on. Everything goes back to, I just don't ever have no luck. Boo to the who. Right? My Lord, what do we have? I want to challenge you to write down what you do have in your life. The blessings that you have that others don't have. Man, I am not in the ER right now. I am not currently, I mean, in a sense of right now, hopefully, dying. Okay? I'm alive and I'm well and my heart beats. I don't have any pain in my body. My mind is sound most days. I've got things in my life that are great. I've got a wonderful wife, a shelter, food, clothing. I've got things that some don't have. I've got assurance. I've got peace. I've got joy. I've got strength. I've got the Holy Ghost inside of me. I've got so many things that the world don't have. Man. And we want to get bound down and blame God. Where was you at, God? I was right there with you. Where was you at when this happened? I was right there with you. You know, my son had a motorcycle wreck about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, out west. He, on 45 miles an hour, car pulled out, right in front of him, flipped it, he went skidding across the road. He walked away from that, church. Walked, not many motorcycle accidents you walk away from at a high speed. He walked away from it. Where was God at? He was right there. Because He's the God of California. He's the God of Tennessee. He's the God of Nebraska. He's the God of you and me. He is God of New York City. He's God of L.A. He's God of France, Germany, Italy. He's God of every place. USA. Not just the USA, though. He is God everywhere. He's everywhere, church. And that gives me assurance. You remember what David said in Psalms? He says, whether I go into the heavens, I can escape. When I go to the pit of death, I can escape them. I go to the depths of the sea, I can't escape them. God, You're still there. You could go 6 miles in the sky, there's God. You can go 6 miles in the ocean, there's God. You can go sit on the moon and eat your grilled cheese sandwich, He's still God, He's there. You can't escape Him. Man, Jonah's in the belly of a whale, there was God. Daniel in a lion's den, there was God. Moses in the Red Sea, there was God. Every situation, you can't separate it from God. Because God is it. He is everything. Says everything visible, invisible, was created by Him. I can't escape it. When I look at the stars, I'm seeing the presence of God. I look at the moon tonight, I'm seeing the presence of God. For you that have been traveling all summer, you see the presence of God in the mountains and the beach and the coast, wherever you've been going, you're seeing the presence of God in everything. He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to cast us off. He's not going to forsake his inheritance, even when we're acting foolish and even when we're in rebellion. I love how Christians judge the ones that are rebelling and running away from God that don't mean God is running away from them. That's the thing. They're running. They're rebelling. But God ain't mad about that. God knows our hearts and he knows our minds. He knows our faults. And he loves us. Our rebellion isn't making God mad. Our rebellion is probably making God like, don't they know what I got for them? How could it be so different if they would just give in? Just surrender completely to me. And I can change things. Last verse here in Matthew. This is when Jesus, let me set this up a little bit. Matthew 28:16. Jesus had rose from the dead. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary had went to the tomb. His body was gone. An angel spoke to them and said, he is risen, he is not here. Said, go tell the disciples to meet him in Galilee and he'll come there. Now we talked Wednesday night a little bit. I think it was Wednesday night we talked about this. How the disciples were nervous about Jesus leaving. Remember what they said? He gave them that speech in John 14 where it says, you know, don't worry. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you a comforter. He's going to show you all things, teach you all things. Don't worry. They were nervous. They were scared. Jesus, you're leaving us. What do we do? How are we going to function without you? But Jesus gave him a promise. I'm not going to leave you. And he hasn't ever since. Church, we've got the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended. Then the Holy Spirit was poured to that upper room. God's presence filling humanity. And that presence has been with us, inside of us, every since. Every generation. Every generation has had that presence. We're not alone. God is not some distant God that we hope can hear us. Man, God hears us. God answers us. And God still speaks to us. For those of you who don't believe that, you're not talking to the same God I am. Because God speaks to us. What do you mean he speaks to you? You can hear God. God puts those things inside of you. You know, people ask me all the time, I don't know if it's just my thought or if it's God speaking. You know. It's just that thought that you get inside, that word you get inside, that thing you get inside, that is God putting that inside of you. That's God planting that in you to let you know, this is me talking. This is God. Yes, it's me. We've had that presence for generations. God's not ever forsaken us. The story of Manly's story, the Old Testament, is the three Hebrew children. And when they were thrown in that fire, you talking about God not forsaken? Man, he was right there, wasn't he? The king looked in there and says, we threw three men in, right? Yeah, king. I see four. And I'm sober. But I see four. Who's that fourth one? It looks like the Son of Man. Son of God. Who is that? Man, he was right in the fire with them. My God, he was right in the lion's den with Daniel. He kept those wild beasts from tearing his flesh. Because the very next morning, when the soldiers got thrown down the pit, remember what the Bible says? They were eating before they hit the bottom. Eating before they hit the bottom. It's like the same God that closed the mouth, boom, opened it as soon as the soldiers went down the stairs. Because he's God. He was with Daniel. He was with the three Hebrew children. He was with David. He was with Noah when the flood came and the earth was destroyed. But where was God? He was right there on the ark with Noah. He was there. He didn't abandon him. He didn't forsake him. He doesn't forsake you. You may feel alone, but you're not alone. No matter who turns against you, you have a God who has promised, I won't leave you. I've got a plan for you. Trust my plan. Trust me. Lean on me. Just watch what I'm about to do because I've got something in your life planned that no man can stop. Because I've already set it into motion. Just trust me. Our plans fail all the time, right? We make plans. We don't always meet those goals. We make plans to be married by a certain age. Well, that didn't happen. We plan to have a new car one day. Meanwhile, we're driving that. You know, that don't happen. We plan to move the beach. You know, meanwhile, we're, you know, not there. We plan, you know, for our kids to be out of the house, you know, at a certain age. And God knows that don't ever happen. And so, you know, it's just you have things in life that just don't work out. Plans are always changing, but God does have a plan for your life. And you know what? That plan ain't going to change. God's got a plan that is going to come to pass in His time and His season. Because He's not forsaken you. Though you may say, God, where are you at? I don't feel your Holy Spirit. I'm like Samson, God. I've been shaking myself, but I don't feel no anointing no more. God, where's your presence went? His presence hasn't went anywhere. His presence remains right here. We have to do some things, I think, in our lives, like, you know, I don't know, lay these down, right? We have really got a problem, church, with these. We do. We've got a problem that we can't go an hour. We can't go 5 minutes, some of you, without being on your phone. We're so distracted by things that don't matter. I really don't care what Chuck and Jewel had for dinner, no offense. Okra looked good on the plate, that's fine. I'm going to change my life, none. I ain't getting no okra. I'm sitting there eating a grilled cheese. I ain't getting no okra. Just makes me mad. Be honest. No, I'm playing. Who cares? Who cares? I mean, let's focus. I remember I preached a message years ago called Google God. I was talking to Vance Henry across the street before we passed away. And Vance talking about that Google stuff. Man, you can Google stuff. I said, I know. And we got to talk. I said, you know what, Vance? You just gave me a message. Google God. Because, man, we can Google everything, right? You ever tried saying, Siri, am I good looking? You ever done that? Yeah, you ain't going to admit it, are you? I did the other day. Doc's in a car. Remember Doc? I said, me and Doc's in a car together. I said, Siri, am I good looking? And I think she said something about, I'm not qualified to answer that. That was her response. Then I said, is Doc Lee good looking? Sure is. I mean, we have so much information at our fingertips, I think we fail to seek what God wants sometimes, don't we? You got a pain in your left knee, man, you're on that internet, and you got yourself diagnosed with stage 10 cancer. Pain in my left knee, 3 inches above this. Oh, my God, it's stage 10. We scare ourselves to death. I got a habit of doing that for a while. I'm like, don't tell me. I got a habit of, she said, James, you go. I said, you're right. I can't live like this. I'm sitting there like this, you know, walking around. I said, forget it. God, take me or not. I'm just going to live my life. I'll go when you tell me to go, you know. But we can scare ourselves. Let's trust God. God doesn't leave us. And we're in places that we feel abandoned. We feel alone. We feel unsupported. We're not. We have a God who doesn't abandon us, a God who does support us, and a God who will endlessly love us no matter what. That's the beauty. You know, it's a different generation we're growing up in. We see our culture changing. We see our kids facing things we didn't have to face. And they have hopes and dreams, and they get discouraged and depressed and overwhelmed with life of what to do next and what they're supposed to do next. It's important to remind them that the same God that's in your life is the same God that's in their life. And He's going to help you. Just trust God. He's going to help you. God has a different plan for every different person. You know, Debbie and Doc, about 5 years ago, bought an RV and went to Florida and come back here and went to Florida. And, you know, they're living the RV life. And that's great for their life. I wouldn't want the RV life, but they love it. God's got a plan for everybody. Go to Florida for 6 months, come here 6 months. They're like polar bears, you know. Hibernate here, come back here. Hibernate here, come back. It's a wonderful life. That's what you want. We're all different. We all have a different plan from God. But I promise you, He's not going to leave you. So He tells His disciples, or tells Mary, you know, the angel says, go tell them to meet me. So verse 16, the 11 disciples, because remember, Judas was dead. So 11 disciples went away to Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So they're there to meet Him. When they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. Now for us religious folks, how could you doubt? That's you. Man, come on. We be doubting too. Y'all doubt now. Is that really God moving? Is that really God speaking? Is that really supposed to be? Yeah, we doubt. So they worship God. First time they've, you know, seen Him since He rose from the dead. They worship Him. Next verse. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now think about that a minute. All power. I have all power in heaven and earth. If He has all power and He lives inside of us, there's nothing He can't do in our lives. Nothing. nothing, church. There's no obstacle bigger than God's power. Next verse, Brendan. Go, therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. And then verse 20, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you. Now think about the death of this statement. He's about to leave them to ascend. He gives them his final instructions. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's letting them know, you're not going to see me again. You saw me. I died. I was buried. You didn't see me. Now you see me again. Yay. But you're not going to see me again. Boo. But be encouraged, because I'm going to be with you. Just because you're not going to see me in the flesh doesn't mean I'm not going to be with you. Because you can't hold me and touch me and walk with me and see the miracles physically doesn't mean I'm not going to be with you. I promise you, from this point on in eternity, I'm not going to leave my people. Man, that's powerful. I'm with you. You're not alone. As we know, he did ascend. Then he sent the promise back in the upper room. Those 120 were filled with the Holy Ghost. Then they went out. Peter went out. The very one denied him three times. That's another thing, too. You know, we want to talk about people. Look at Peter, man. Peter denied Jesus three times. He denied him. They asked Peter, do you know Jesus? Nope, don't know him. Aren't you following him? Nope, don't follow him. Mm-mm. Three times Peter denied him. But in the end, when the upper room experience happened, the first one that delivered the first New Testament, gospel, Christian, whatever you call it, message, was Peter. Peter, the one that denied him three times. The one that dad says, oh, you're nothing but a rebellion hellion. Here's Peter preaching the grace of Jesus Christ. 5,000 responded to that message. Or 3,000. 5,000. Or 3,000. 3,000. Yeah, 3,000. 3,000 responded to that message. Because they did what Rodney said. They believed. Understand, they believed. There wasn't a Hammond organ going in the background. That wasn't going on in the background. There wasn't a choir up here swaying. It was Peter preaching the word. That's it. And 3,000 responded to the truth of what Peter was saying. And their lives were changed because they believed. The word repent means to change your mind. Means to change your direction. The one they crucified, cheered to be crucified. All of a sudden, they're hearing the words of Peter, and something inside them is happening. Because the Holy Ghost was alive and well and present. And the Holy Spirit poured upon them and opened up their understanding to see this message as truth. We don't need to play games with the world. We don't have to throw in special worms to catch the fish, church. Share the good news, the gospel, and let that be enough. Share grace, mercy, truth, love, that's enough. Share eternal life, that's enough. Share the redemptive plan of Christ, that's enough. Share that you are a lying, adulterous blasphemer, but Jesus changed you and saved you forevermore. And you're not what you were, but you are now what he called you to be. That's good news. That's the gospel. It's not a bunch of regulations and rules of what you can't do. It's about what Christ did do. That's the difference. I heard Randy talking in class, and I was listening to him. I wasn't eavesdropping. I was sitting in the chair out there, and he had the door open. He was talking, teaching a couple of kids back there, and I heard him tell him, say, it's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about relationship you have with God. I told you, me and Joe and other people used to go door knocking some, and we know that world's kind of died because now you get shot or, you know, cussed out or whatever. That's fine. But we used to door knock. And every time I go to a Catholic door, I say, hey, I'm James, Pastor Living Words. Want to invite you to church. We're Catholic. Ooh, okay. I mean, what does that mean? I'm Pentecostal. Ooh. I mean, what does that mean? Your neighbor's Baptist. Ooh. I mean, but they would always say that. We're Catholic. You know what they were saying? We're good.
We're all right. We're Catholic. We're covered. And they would just immediately shut down the conversation. Wouldn't even want to hear us because they threw the Catholic card. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. You could be Catholic and not know who Jesus is. You can be Pentecostal and not know who Jesus is. It's about relationship. Do you know the King? Do you know Him by name? As the song says, Lord, I know You by name, peace speaker. I know Him by name. It's not about religion, it's about relationship. He tells the disciples, I'm going to be with you wherever you go. Take comfort. I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you. You're going to see me disappear, but I'm going to come back into your life in a more powerful, impactful way than I ever could if I'd stayed here. And He's in our lives now in a much more impactful way than He ever could be if He was physically walking the earth. Because guess what? He's been imparted into all of us. His power, His strength, His wisdom, His direction, all that's been imparted to us. We are not alone. You are not alone. You may feel alone today, but you are not alone because we serve a God who stays when others leave. God stays. And as a pastor, that's comforting to me to realize that. Because as a pastor of the years, you lose folks. People pass on, people move, people leave the church. It can be a very lonely thing at times as a pastor. And, you know, Melanie, of course, knows better than anybody what I go through with that. It can be times of great loneliness and almost rejection sometimes, you know. Wow, okay. You know, then I remind myself about the God that I serve, that He remains. And that people walked away from Him as well, right? Rejected Him as well. Didn't want anything to do with Him as well. But He kept on the mission God called Him to do. So we keep on the mission God calls to do. And we remind people, you are not alone. You have a God who remains. Whatever your need is today, there's a God who has not forsaken you, and He never will. Your sin, your shame, your guilt, your rebellion, your doubt, your uncertainties, God is not going to turn His back because you are going through those things. We have had a picture of God, I think, very unfortunately mispainted through the years. Because we are seeing God painted by the way people treat each other, not how God treats us. If we had the same mercy Christ had, it'd be a whole different world, wouldn't it? Shirley put our new sign out this week. I don't know if any of you read it at the road. It says, be the change that you want the world. Well, let's say, be the change you want the world to see. Yeah, be the change that you want to see in this world. Be the change. We complain, be the change. What is that change? We walk with God. And we tell the people about God. You are not alone. Chuck and Jewel, come on up here and get ready for your song. And we'll have them sing this song this morning. And I want to open up the altar today. For those of you that feel alone, that you feel like people's abandoned you and left you, and you know, here's the big thing. Maybe you feel God has abandoned you. He's not. God has not left you. God is hearing your cry. Why is He not answering, Pastor, the way? I can't answer the way. I don't know why He's not answering you the way you need right now. But I know He's hearing you. And I know there's an answer coming. So I keep on seeking, and I keep on knocking, and I keep on believing, and I keep on trusting. And I keep on waiting for God to put into my life what I desire. It's on the way. If you need encouragement this morning to know that God, you just need to know, God, I need to know You're not left me. I need to feel the assuring touch of Your presence today. Because I believe, church, that God still touches us. I believe in a presence of God. I don't believe in just a theory of God. I believe in a touch of God. I believe God can touch our hearts. He can touch our minds. He can touch our flesh. That He can bring hope and healing back into our lives. Because He's living. Yes. As they sing this song, the altar is open. Come and just take a moment to say, God, let me know I'm not alone. God, just show me Yourself, please. There's nothing wrong with doubting, church. We all doubt. There's not a thing wrong with doubting. God knows our hearts. We go through times we doubt. It doesn't make us bad. It makes us human. As this song was sung, if you want to talk to God, come talk to Him and say, God, I just want to feel Your presence and assure me that I'm not alone this morning, that You're with me.
This song has helped me through. dark times.
Y'all stand up. Let's sing that part together.
Believe me, I am not alone. I am not alone. You will never leave me. You will never leave me. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go.
Thank you, Jesus. You're not alone no more, church. You never have to be alone ever, ever again. You've got a God who's never going to walk away out of your life, ever going to walk away. He did too much to walk away. Do you hear me? He did too much to walk away. He can't walk away. He died for you. Hallelujah. I feel like saying this right now. I just felt this in my spirit. Some of you, the reason you feel alone is you're identifying your lives on what you have instead of who you are. You're identifying your lives as I'm married, I have the right husband, right job, right this, right that. Instead of losing yourself into what Christ has called you to be, your identity has to first start in Him. Because if your identity is not in the Lord, everything else is messed up. It's all messed up. You have to first know who you are in Christ first. I'm first God's child. I'm first the redeemed. I'm first bought by the blood. I'm first His son and His daughter. I'm first that. Then I'm everything else. Then I'm married. Then I'm single. Then I'm rich. Then I'm poor. Then I'm black. Then I'm white. Don't matter. I'm first God's child. That's first, church. That's first. Let that be your identity. And when you know that, all of a sudden you won't feel so alone. Because I know who I belong to. I know who my Father is. I'm no longer a lost cause. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing it again, Jewel. Yes.
I am not alone.
You will never know me. You will never leave me.
I am not alone.
Yes.
I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone.
Thank you, Jesus.
I am not alone.
Yes.
Because
that's His own. Yes.
You
call me as your own.
Strength, yes, you're my defender.
good news to know that you can walk out of this church today knowing you are not alone. You may be thinking, Pastor, you don't know what battle I'm battling today. I feel so alone. No, you're not alone. My mom don't understand. My dad don't understand. My friends don't understand. You don't know what I'm going through in my mind. I've got an internal war operating inside of me. I have thoughts I shouldn't have. I have feelings I shouldn't have. And it's a war and a battle going on. But you're not fighting that by yourself, I promise you. There's a designer and a creator who loves you beyond everything and who is there knowing every feeling, every thought, every battle you have. And you are not alone. And he is going to get you to the next step of your process of your life. Trust me, I promise you, God is faithful. And he is going to get you to the next step of where he wants you to be. Hold on to that, because you are not by yourself. Hallelujah. Y'all be seated if you so wish. Y'all just stay up here, guys. Do a grape for an offering song.